Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. Today I wanted to talk to you about why relatively few people receive a narcissistic diagnosis compared to how many people are actually affected by toxic or pathological narcissism. While diagnosis isn't really that important in the end, this is something that many people wonder about, so I thought we could talk about it on the show today. Pathological narcissism is not like other mental health challenges in many ways. It's not something that's obvious all the time with most people. It can't necessarily be hidden, but it often can be disguised for a period of time. Complicating that fact is the disconnect and lack of insight most narcissistic people have about their own challenges and level of functioning. This means they don't actually know what their problems even are, which makes it extremely unlikely these things will ever be addressed if they ever do try to get help with the enormous amount of difficulty many of them are having. It really isn't as uncommon for narcissists to seek help as people think it is, and they also might come in contact with mental health services repeatedly because of their behavior and their emotional dysregulation, but it is extremely uncommon for them to actually get help because, by and large, they are unable to see what their actual challenges are and they cannot be shown. For example, narcissists might seek therapy because they think the problem is anxiety or depression. They might seek therapy because they believe they're a victim of abuse in their relationship. They might seek therapy because the people around them insist or because it's court-ordered. They might offer to seek therapy as a way of trying to keep important relationships or because they truly believe the other person is the problem and they want a therapist to tell them so. It isn't the therapist's job to assume that their client is lying or misinformed and try to figure out why. Therapy relies on the client to self-report, so often the narcissistic problems a person is having will not come to light. It's tough to tell your therapist about something that you don't know exists or that you don't realize is a problem. It's easy to get angry or feel frustrated and let down in this situation, but it's important to remember a few things. First of all, the therapeutic environment is unique. The narcissist is in a very controlled, validating environment where all the attention is focused completely on them and they hold all the power over what information is shared. Not only does this put them at a distinct advantage as far as what they want to be known, it's unlikely they're going to feel rejected or challenged in that environment. So the more obviously problematic behavior is probably not going to be triggered. This is one reason it's often much easier to see toxic narcissism in group, couples, or family therapy. If the narcissist does not become triggered, the chances of their true issues being seen and recognized is much smaller. Secondly, therapy only lasts a certain amount of time. In such a supportive, validating environment, it is much easier for a narcissistic person to maintain emotional balance. Remember, a therapist who has been seeing a client once a week for 6 months has known this person for a total of 24 hours. In a very controlled environment with very strict protocols and no other information being shared except what the narcissist wants to share or believes to be true. Toxic narcissism can be virtually impossible to see in this situation in anybody except the absolute lowest functioning people, and even then, it's often still missed. This is because not only is the environment one where the problem is easier to miss, many healing professionals simply do not have the experience to recognize what they are seeing when it does show up. It can be devastating to realize that the person you trusted to help you and your loved one does not recognize the problem, but remember that if people have not experienced this, they really, truly don't understand. What you can learn about pathological narcissism academically is very important, but it does not prepare most people for recognizing it in a real-world situation. It just doesn't. That is extremely unfortunate, but it is the truth, and many of you have experienced this reality firsthand. As frustrating as it is, we can't assume that everyone knows as much about this as someone who has been through it, because they just don't. It's the same reason so many addiction counselors are former addicts themselves. There's only one way to know what it's like. Another reason that so few people receive a diagnosis of a narcissistic disorder or problem is because often only the lowest functioning people will receive a diagnosis in the first place. This means only the people who are very obviously and severely affected or impaired by their behaviors and mindsets are going to be recognized in many situations. if someone can hold a job, if they're not violent, if they're not suicidal, if they take a shower, if they eat, if they seem able to mostly function normally, they may not receive a diagnosis at all, except in extreme circumstances such as like they're in prison and their actions are a matter of record. They may also be diagnosed in a family or couples counseling situation because another person is reporting the narcissist's actions or the narcissist has become triggered in front of a doctor or a therapist who recognized this for what it is. Often, though, only the most obvious people will receive a diagnosis. This means that many, many higher functioning, pathologically narcissistic people are not recognized and they may never be. Complicating this even more is the fact that narcissism is a spectrum, kind of like autism. If there are 9 diagnostic criteria for a personality disorder and evidence of 5 is required to qualify for a diagnosis, a person who obviously displays only 4 will likely not receive a diagnosis, even though those 4 probably significantly interfere with their life and impair their functioning, and even though they may be demonstrating more than those, but the person who is evaluating them does not recognize that or just doesn't see it. It's an imperfect system, and within it there lies, in some ways, a profound lack of understanding regarding the different manifestations of pathological narcissism that causes both narcissists and their loved ones to be almost tragically underserved. Family members, children, and spouses are not listened to in too many cases. It's simply assumed that they are too emotional to be rational, too close to the problem, or because they don't have a clinical background, they don't know what they're talking about. Even though they are the ones who have been living with this person, they see what the doctor doesn't see, and it would behoove more healing professionals to consider more carefully what they're saying. Remember, though, that in the end, a diagnosis is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you don't need a diagnosis to recognize a person who is not changing toxic or abusive behavior. Whether it's because they won't or because they can't, the end result is the same. You don't need someone to be formally diagnosed with an incurable disorder to know that they are abusive or that the situation is toxic. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, via text, via messenger, via email, through Skype, and over the phone. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that. I teach workshops a few times a month, so if you're interested in getting some information about that or seeing what we are offering at this time, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org and shamanspiritcenter.com. That's me, the Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.